Hi everyone, welcome back to Jukebox International Radio Show. I'm Molly.
I'm Zoe.
We've been doing a global social leaders project called Athena, in which we investigate the situation of how many females are involved in STEM subjects in Wellington, and what we can do to promote STEM among female students and encourage more girls to get into these fields, no matter the subject or the career.
Yeah, and despite the fact that we're living in a community that is fairly gender equal, it is interesting to notice that there is still an obvious disparity between the number of male and female learning or teaching STEM subjects in Wellington.
Yeah, just a bit of background. STEM stands for science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. According to the data we've collected, no girls do computer science at IB higher level, which is just an interesting fact, and I thought fairly surprising. And I'm also the only girl in my physics and math sets, which isn't something that hinders the education or the lessons. It's just something that I was surprised at coming into Wellington, considering at the moment we're 40-60 in girls and boys, and I thought that might be represented in the classes, which unfortunately isn't.
Yeah, I was quite surprised with that situation as well, because I'm in a quite similar situation. I'm the only girl in my astronomy set, though there are only like now two of us doing this subject. But I can feel like there are still not many girls doing math or other sciences. But I think this data really shows the current situation of how sixth form girls are less willing to do natural sciences and math, actually. And I reckon it also means that compared to male students, girls are less likely to go into a career in science fields, especially the areas of like technology or engineering.
Yeah, I think that's a very perceptive judgment. If you don't study the subject, exactly. You cannot go into the career. We've also got some data about the number of female teachers of teaching STEM subjects. And surprising, considering the student output, for the STEM teachers, it is generally very equal. Oh. We do have a couple of subjects like MF, like Modern Foreign Languages, where it's more female heavy. And then on the flip side, Science and Maths is more male heavy. But it doesn't show the same disparity as with the students.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's not that there's a lack of female representation of the subjects in school. I do feel like it's a socially constructed thing within the students that don't take it. Oh. I don't think,
it's according to the data, to know,
it's not that there's a lack of maybe female leaders or female sort of role models. Mm-hmm. I think it's very much a socially constructed idea.
Yeah, I think that's quite fair to say. I think the results are actually not that surprising in terms of like less girls are doing STEM subjects, because there's always stereotype, as you said, that females are not as good at STEM subjects as boys do, which would, I think, to some extent discourage like girls to study this kind of subjects and also demotivate them to do further research so that they are not going to go into a career in this field.
Well, exactly what you've said is all in the mind. There is, even though there's been scientific research, with little quotation marks around that, there's no actual evidence that males are better, well, boys and men are better at STEM subjects. It just doesn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a socially constructed thing, which if we've constructed it, then there is no reason why we can't deconstruct it.
Yeah, I totally agree. I would say that this kind of stereotypes are more like social stereotype,
yeah,
rather
definitely.
Than like biological thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, like girls are often thought to be like are different when we are like being brought up. And people always think that there are sort of things that girls or boys should do, and they're like pretty different things. So I still remember, like, when I was young, I was often given like dolls or like other like domestic things as gifts, while my friends that are boys, they got cars and swords or something, which are cool, much cooler than mine. So I would say that under this kind of parental care with binary gender norms, both male and female are likely to lose some core skills. that are developed in early years, like especially when we're like kids. So, and I think these core skills are becoming more and more prominent and important in our letter mm-hmm. study. So I think that may result in the distinction of how male and female are behaving or like doing in different fields. So I think that's quite like influential in letter study.
Yeah, there was a, adding on to that, there was a lady that came to the Master's Lodge, and she was called Dr. Becky Smethurst, and I asked her about how she felt about the lack of female representation in astrophysics, mm-hmm. and she's been involved in some research, and apparently it's 7 years old. That is when the social pressure, shall we say, is driven into a child about what they should choose. So that's the age that we need to focus on. And like you said, give more... It doesn't even have to be more boys' toys to girls. It just has to be more neutral and fluid toy.
Not fluid toys. Yeah.
I mean, more neutral and toys that it isn't because they're a girl they get this. It's because they are interested in this, or this is what they find fun.
Yeah, exactly. I think, like, parents mm-hmm. or, like, any other adults should, like, open the choices of toys or books or anything else that a child is going to get in touch with. So I think that will help them to, like, choose between all the toys. Maybe, like, it turns out that really, like, more girls are preferring dolls, but it doesn't mean that all girls are preferring dolls.
We're not saying don't buy dolls for girls. Yeah. We're just saying open up the options, aren't
exactly.
we?
Exactly.
And right now, we're just going to go through a couple of inspiring female scientists who've made a huge contribution to the world, showing that actually females are capable of going into STEM, and they're just as inspirational.
Mm-hmm. So I think today the first one we're going to talk about is Ada Lovelace. Some of you may heard of her. She's one of the first computer programmers in the world, which is quite impressive. And Ada is the only legitimate child of poet Lord Byron, who is very famous as well. And she showed a talent in mathematics when she was really young.
Funny enough, it was her mother, Lady Byron, that promoted Ada's interest in mathematics in order to prevent her from developing the same sort of insanity of her father's.
So, a poet.
Yeah. So Ada grew up in an astounding mathematician and developed many contacts with scientists such as Charles Babbage and Michael Faraday, which facilitated her with the further research and education.
Yeah, and Ada had a specific interest in Babbage's analytical engine, which is like a much earlier version of a computer, we would say. Okay. Yeah, and she not only translated a work by Italian engineer Menabrea on the engine, but also added her own notes to it, which is simply called notes back then.
Creative.
Yeah. And the first computer program is believed to be contained in her notes, actually. Though there are also other historians saying that actually it was Babbage's notes in which contained the first programs. But mm-hmm. anyway, it's generally known, like, Ada as one of the first computer programmer. But I would say that one thing is undoubtful, that is Ada is one of the pioneers of computer engineering, and she is definitely an excellent mathematician.
Yeah, it's inspiring to learn about other people. We're just going to pause for a while and enjoy the song The Man by Taylor Swift. I would be complex, I would be cool. They'd say I played the field before I found someone to commit to. And that would be okay for me to do. Every conquest I had made would make me more of a boss to you. I'd be a fearless leader, I'd be an alpha type. When everyone believes ya, what's that like? I'm so sick of running as fast as I can, wondering if I'd get there quicker if I was a man. And I'm so sick of them coming at me again, 'cause if I was a man, then I'd be the man. I'd be the man, I'd be the man. They say I hustle,
put in the work. They wouldn't shake their heads and question how much of this I deserve. What I was wearing, if I was rude, could I be separated from my good ideas and power moves? And they would toast to me or let the players play. I'd be just like Leo in Saint-Tropez. I'm so sick of running as fast as I can, wondering if I'd get there quick or if I was a man. And I'm so sick of them coming at me again, 'cause if I was a man, then I'd be the man. By raking in dollars and getting dished in models. And it's all good if you're bad, and it's okay if you're mad. If I was out flashing my dollars, I'd be a chip, not a bother. They paint me out to be bad, so it's okay that I'm mad. I'm so sick of running as fast as I can, wondering if I'd get there quick or if I was a man. You know that. And I'm so sick of them coming at me again. If I was a man,
if I was a man,
then I'd be the man.
I'd be the man.
I'm so sick of running as fast as I can,
as fast as I can,
wondering if I'd get there quick or if I was a man. And I'm so sick of them coming at me again,
coming at me again.
'Cause if I was a man,
if I was a man,
then I'd be the man. I'd be the man. I'd be the man.
The next person we're going to introduce is the famous film actress and inventor Hedy Lamarr. Born in Austria, she is known as a progressive American actress whose accomplishments brought her honour of a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame in 1960. In her young age, Hedy showed an interest and talent in science, and her father, who was obsessed with machine technology, would often explain how machines worked to his daughter. Acting, on the other hand, was another area that Hedy had been interested in since a young age.
Hedy gained huge fame in her motion picture career, but she did not stop her scientific research at the same time. She was keen in the anti-Nazis war, and she wanted to provide technological help and would like to serve the newly established National Investors Council in Washington, D.C. So Hedy, together with her friend, the composer and pianist George Antheil, developed the frequency hopping system. So with this system, the torpedoes sent would not be detected by the enemy because the frequency of the signals keep changing during the transmission.
Okay. And although this invention was not in practice until the Cuban Missile Crisis in 1962, it was considered as revolutionary and impacted the development of many modern technologies we're still using or even, say, rely on nowadays, including GPS, Bluetooth and Wi-Fi. Hedy was the posthumously inducted in the National Inventors Hall of Fame in the US for the frequency hopping spread spectrum technology. So when you were listening to this radio show with your laptop connected to the internet, remember, Hedy is what made it possible.
Yeah, definitely. Like when we're using our phones mm-hmm. and connected to Wi-Fi, she's one of the person who made it possible for us using it.
What I think is really interesting, just going over a couple of these stories, both of these female scientists or involved in technology were both inspired by their parents. And role models.
Yeah.
I think it's just, even if you don't have a role model as such, I think the best way to probably get into this type of career is to find a role model.
Definitely. I totally agree. Like, because I study astronomy, mm-hmm. but I wouldn't say that I found a role model as like a female astronomist before I picked, choose this subject. But it was quite impressive when I found out in my astronomy textbook, it actually shows that a lot of female astrophysics or astronomists are actually, like, they actually contribute a lot to the, like, progress or development of this subject. So many things that we're studying nowadays are actually relying on their studies years and years before.
Yeah. It's just, I feel like finding a role model just encourages and helps. And that can be for anything, not just STEM subjects. And I would actually encourage people to also become a role model, not only mm-hmm. find a role model. It can be as simple as just maybe telling somebody in the younger years if they would like help with some sort of, with a certain subject, just so they know that if they are struggling, they don't have to just sort of get on with it on their own and mm-hmm. keep on struggling. There are people older and maybe a couple more years experience just in mm-hmm. the subject in general, just to have an interesting perspective on it.
Yeah, that would definitely, like, put positive impact on those, like, yeah. younger girls or, like, even boys. Like, some boys yes. love, like, fashion design or, like, things that people normally think that girls should prefer to yes. do or that they're better. But actually, there are a lot of boys who are good at these fields as well. So would you say you're a role model for younger generations?
Well, would I say I'm a role model? I'm saying I am in the process of hopefully becoming one. Mm-hmm. Starting with this radio show and hopefully ending with inviting some speakers into school.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we're really, like, expecting to that.
Yes. Yeah, that's our aim, is to hopefully increase the number of girls in STEM subjects and just open more doors. Because what I found particularly interesting in my research is that girls that do that read mathematics at university and get a master's, on average, they earn 12% more than any other degree when they then get a job.
So regardless of their gender?
No, for girls. Only for girls. I'm not sure about the statistic for the male counterparts, mm-hmm. but it is for girls. It just shows that having the knowledge and education increases the chance of having a higher pay rise. And then by doing yeah. that, you then eventually decrease the disparity between the pay and mm-hmm. the wages of both females and males. Mm-hmm. It's just a couple of interesting facts that just sort of interested me to get involved uh-huh. in this.
Well, that's good to know, actually, because I would say, like, by gaining more, like, wages or salary in mm-hmm. the future, like, women are actually being empowered through, like, economic
yes.
Means.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, their status, like, compared to men would be, like, even more equal or higher in the future. So I'm quite expecting to that kind of future, but I think we still got a lot to do along the
we
way.
We have, yes. I mean, we're not denying that there hasn't been development.
Yeah.
But we're just saying that maybe we can just a little bit more, just here and there, just try a little mm-hmm. bit harder.
Yeah, and empowering women and achieving gender equality is actually one of the sustainable development goals.
Yes.
So, yeah, I think gender equality is becoming a, like, pressing issue in the world.
Mm-hmm.
So I think everybody, like, should contribute it if you actually agree with this.
Yes, which contribute.
Yes, which hopefully everyone would do in the future.
Yeah. We're just going to talk about Dr. Becky Smethurst again. So she is a astrophysicist and she came to the Master's Lodge on Monday. And she was talking to us about her experiences in the field. And Zoe, I know that you're doing astrology. So how did you find her speech? What did you find interesting about it?
Well, I would say at first, the talk itself attracted me so much.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, regardless of who was delivering the speech itself was really interesting, because Dr. Smethurst talked about her research and PhD on galaxies and black holes,
mm-hmm.
which I found really interesting because I'm doing astronomy and that's exactly what things I have been covering.
Yeah.
So I'm expecting to, like, know more about it in the future. But the other thing I found that's really impressive is that Dr. Smethurst is a really young and positive and active female astrophysics, yes, which I think it's actually lacking in the society, as far as we know. Yes. How do you find her talk, by the way?
I just loved her enthusiasm. I was sitting there on the floor, on a cushion, with no back support, just on the floor.
Same.
And even though I'd just come back from holidays, it was at 8 o'clock, I was already run down from the day, I couldn't help but just listen and be fascinated by it. Just by the pure fact that she loved what she was doing.
Yeah, definitely. And I think she was quite like... She also mentioned that she's actually working towards to be a good female role model in science fields, which I think is quite impressive as like a young woman in the society, because like there's still a lot of disparity or discrimination in the society.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's kind of like breaking through action she is actually doing.
Yeah, and also her research as well. I mean, she was talking to us about how black holes can be seen, or how they affect galaxies. Mm-hmm. And just the mere thought that beyond us in this tiny jukebox room, then there's Wellington College, then there's Crowthorne, then suddenly we're in a galaxy,
mm-hmm,
that is just millions, or who knows how many millions and billions stars, and then you've got the universe, and who knows how many galaxies are there. It's just, everything just seems to grow exponentially, and it's just such a fascinating topic that, mm-hmm, we just know nothing about.
Mm-hmm.
And the way it's talked about, it was just inspirational. And even though personally astrophysics isn't something that I'm looking into, just going to that talk was just, I don't know, mind-blowingly, inspirationally, impressively amazing.
Yeah, I totally agree, because although I choose like astronomy as my like one of my IB subjects, mm-hmm, I'm definitely not going into astrophysics when I'm going to uni. But I would say that because of her talk, like, I generated an idea, like, of going into, like, going to one of the observatories,
mm-hmm,
like, leading observatory in the world in the future. Hopefully, I can go to the one up, like, high up on the mountains in Hawaii, because I mean,
that's, why not? Why wouldn't you want to go there? It looked amazing. Yeah,
that kind of experience is life-changing, I would say. That's just so brilliant. And universe is one of the most amazing thing I know in the world. Definitely. Although I'm living like within the universe.
Yeah.
It's quite interesting to find out like everything about a universe in the future.
It's just a fascinating topic. Another thing that Dr. Becky Smith first mentioned is her project called Galaxy Zoo.
Mm-hmm.
And also then onto Zooniverse.
Yeah, is that called Zooniverse?
I'm pretty sure it was Zooniverse. Oh, yes. Yeah. And we also encourage you to go find the website as well, and it's a simple activity, shall we say, mm-hmm, where you identify different types of galaxies.
Yeah.
And your simple click of if it's a spiral galaxy or simply a blob galaxy, as she liked to put it, actually helps researchers all around the world,
mm-hmm,
accumulate this data and then classify it, and then from there they can research specific anomalies and phenomenons in the universe. And at the end of it, you can call yourself an astrophysicist.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. And I really encourage everyone to like go onto a website called Galaxy Zoo and help identify those galaxies, because you are actually pushing like natural science forward. So that maybe because of your like tiny click, someday human beings are able to like live on another planet in the future, possibly.
That's the dream. One click on a website equals another world. Yes.
Yeah, another world, another like more opportunities for human beings in the future.
And please don't be discouraged in case you think, oh no, I can never tell if it's a spiral or a blob galaxy. For they ask the same question to 40 people, so it's the crowd's judgment on what it is.
Mm-hmm.
So no matter your background in astrophysics, which maybe some of you out there are budding astrophysicists, if not, still please check out Galaxy Zoo.
Yeah, Galaxy Zoo. We're repeating it like for a few times.
Yes, Galaxy Zoo, Galaxy Zoo.
In case you guys like forget that. So coming to the end of our show today, let's enjoy the song Speechless by Naomi Scott in the film Aladdin, which I think like a lot of people have already listened to it, but it's a really good song. So hopefully girls would gain courage and motivation from the two stories we share today, and also by Dr. Smith's example.
Mm-hmm.
And be no longer speechless in STEM areas, please. Thank you very much for listening. I'm Zoe.
I'm Molly.
See you next time.
Here comes a wave meant to wash me away. A tide that is taking me under. Swallowing sand, but nothing to say. My voice drowned out in the thunder. But I won't cry, and I won't start to crumble whenever they try.